Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's some Bibles on the ends of your pews there, and you can use that. Hebrews 10. There's a phrase that we hear often, the just shall live by faith. And it's a wonderful promise, a wonderful truth. But a phrase that is simple, but it's so full of meaning as well. We're going to look at that today. And a key question, though. What is your faith in? There's so many things that we can have our faith in. Some people have faith in their money. Some people have faith in the government. Some people have faith in God, as we should. Some people have faith in Buddha. Some people have faith in one of the gods of the Hindus or in Allah, whatever God they choose. They have their faith in that particular God. But we know there's only one true God. That's Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. And this morning, we're going to see an encouragement to the Hebrews to remember what their faith was supposed to be in. Now, the book of Hebrews is an interesting book. It is written to a group of Christians who were formerly believed in Judaism, but had converted to Christianity, had trusted in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they were facing some discouraging times. They were facing some persecution. They were facing pressures. And chapter 10 is an encouragement to remain living by faith. You know, let's be honest, we can be discouraged in the day and age we live, can't we? We can be discouraged, we can be weary and well-doing. And so this morning, we're going to see that encouragement in a message entitled, The Life of Faith. If we could stand together, as you're physically able, Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse number 32, and go down to verse number 38. We're going to see a couple of different sections of the book we're going to look at this morning in the chapter. But verse 32 begins, But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For he had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray your blessing this morning. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, and give me the strength and the wisdom to preach your word this morning. I pray, Lord, for hearts, that if there are any here that are not saved, Lord, that they would trust you. Or perhaps some that are saved and they're struggling in their walk with you, Lord. They're struggling to understand. They're struggling to know what your next step is. And Lord, I pray that they would walk by faith and not by sight. Pray this morning that those also listening, maybe by live stream or maybe listening at another time to this recording, Lord, that your truth is timeless and your truth is powerful. I pray this morning that we would see the power of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The life of faith. The just shall live by faith. We see this quotation as well given in the Old Testament. The just shall live by his faith. And we see that this, several other places in the New Testament, Galatians is another place, that we see this same phrase. And what does it mean is a very good question. And we're going to look at this, the meaning here in a moment. But in order to fully understand what we've just read, we're going to look at other sections of chapter 10. We're going to take a progression through this chapter for a minute. And we must live by faith. Hebrews also tells us it's impossible to please him if, one, we don't live by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek him. I pray this morning that you're seeking for him. I pray that we're seeking for him every day. Amen. Are you looking for God on a daily basis? Are you looking to see God in his word? Are you looking to meet God in your prayer life? Are you looking to see the work of God during the day? I'm afraid sometimes we can relegate the work of God to just our devotional time. I hope you see the hand of God on a daily basis. you see and give God the credit for His hand when you do see it. That's important. But we must first, in order to have this walk of faith, number one, we need to have faith in God's living way. Let's look back here in chapter 10. Go back to verse number 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What is being talked about here is our salvation. We are cleansed only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Praise God for the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Very clearly, as this stated, we don't see baptism mentioned here. We don't see good works mentioned here. We don't see the sacraments mentioned here. We see only the blood of Christ. We see that His blood was shed so that we might be cleansed from sin and we may enter into the throne room in prayer boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not because of our own righteousnesses, which are as filthy rags before God, but because of the blood of Christ. We claim the blood when we enter into God's presence. When God looks upon us, He does not see us. He sees the blood of His Son. The blood is such an important aspect, the essential aspect running from Genesis to Revelation. We cannot deny it. We cannot replace it. It is the only path of salvation. That's why it's called the living way. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the blood of Christ was shed for us. It is the living way. We can have boldness to enter into God's presence, as it says here in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now remember that he's talking to Jews. He's talking of the Holy of Holies in the middle of the tabernacle, is also in the middle of the temple, that only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. On the one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, and only with the blood of a spotless lamb to make atonement for himself and for the sin of all Israel one day per year, said, now I am able to enter into that because I have the blood of Christ. That was a very foreign thought to a Jew. Like, whoa, that is why we see when Jesus died upon the cross, he said that there was an earthquake. He said the veil in the temple was rent in twain into two pieces, the separation between God and man. Jesus had completed. Jesus had paid the penalty for sin. Now, all mankind through Jesus Christ has access to God. That was a very foreign thought to a Jew. And so he is encouraging them, reminding them, this is what you have. And sometimes, I'll say this, old ways of thinking and old things learned are sometimes hard to overcome. And we see all through the book of Hebrews, that's the purpose of the book of Hebrews, to explain the new system, the new testament, the new covenant, so that they might be able to live successfully in Christ and not be bound by the law. We may enter into, and also when we enter heaven, we may enter with boldness, not presumptuously. There's a difference between being presumptuous and being bold. Being bold, it comes from a very deep-seated confidence, and this deep-seated confidence does not come from us. It comes from the promises of Christ. Remember, he's talking to Jews. They were not used to the priesthood of the believer. They were used to having a mediator mediate for them, the priest mediate for them. They had to be reminded that Jesus was now the one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Lord Jesus Christ. And he was their high priest, and he is today. And because of their new life in Christ, they had a solid foundation. Let me ask this morning, is your foundation solid? I know I've been hammering this the last few weeks in Sunday school, but really this is the basis of all things. If you're not sure that you're saved, you can build nothing that's stable in your walk with God. If you're not sure, or don't have assurance, if you maybe made a profession, but you have trouble wrapping your mind around forever saved, once saved, always saved, the promise of God that you're in the hand of the Father and no man can take you out of His hand. That's a blessed promise. That is how we have boldness. This is how we have confidence. But do you walk by faith that you're saved by His grace? The just shall walk by what? Faith. Faith. Not faith in me. Not faith in what I've done today or what I did yesterday or what I will do tomorrow. But faith in what Jesus has done once and for all on behalf of sinners. If you have faith and confidence in that, that will bring boldness into your life. That you may boldly go forward with God, knowing that you're saved. If you don't know that you're for sure on your way to heaven today, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for whosoever is baptized. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say for whosoever partakes of the Holy Eucharist. It doesn't say whatever other religious system you put in, that man has put in place and the devil has deceived man into believing is not there. For whosoever shall call upon the priest, no, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only through Christ. Only Christ can save. Cannot build anything if your foundation isn't secure. You need to cling tightly to the cross. Verse 23 says this, and let us consider, also verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, that promise. And we're going to see why He was saying that to them in just a moment. We just saw that they were under tremendous persecution. They were under tremendous pressure. They were being told to turn back to the old way. And it said, hold fast to that. Have confidence in that. It's worth it. Now, the next part of it, have faith in God's living way. Praise God for His salvation. The living way. The second, we need to look at verses 24 and 25. And this is interesting. Remember who He's talking to. This is an encouragement. This is don't forsake God. Don't turn back to the old way. Stay firm in that foundation. How are we going to do that? Number two, faith in God's house. Faith in God's house. Verses 24 and 25. How are you going to stay encouraged and not quit in the way? Be in church. Amen. A novel thought, isn't it? Right? Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Okay? So as they consider one another, to provoke means to encourage. Right? To encourage. As when you're saying when you are in a sports game, okay, maybe you go to a basketball game, right? I don't know if you've ever been to one of those sports games, whether it's a football game or it's a basketball game. And, you know, if it's a basketball game, it's the fourth quarter, and it's the fourth period. There is a minute left on the clock. There's only 2 points. I mean, it's 1 3-point basket for your team to win. Okay? And guess what? You know, when they say the air is electric, guess what? When you're up there and you're screaming and you're yelling, I don't know any idea how those guys keep focused in order to play. I couldn't do it. Right? Everyone's screaming and yelling. I just couldn't do it. I don't have that kind of focus, but they're focused. But you know, they get encouraged. What you're doing is you're provoking them to what? Lose? No, you want them to win. Right? Amen. You want the other team to lose. You know, when they're up for a shot, drop it! Right? And you want to provoke your team to win. And so what do you want to do? You want to provoke them to a good work. You want to win. You know, we do that for a sports team, but man, we sure don't do that a whole lot in the house of God. Oh, we ought to provoke one another. You know what? I just want to encourage you. Keep going this week. I don't know what temptation you're going to face, but I'm praying for you. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. That's why the hedge building prayer meeting was a blessing. Amen. It was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to other people. We are praying for each other, provoking one another, encouraging one another. You need to be there for the next one. You need to come. I know some people are at work, but I love, you know what? I just love how Caleb introduced all of that. Amen. Be here if you want to be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Basically, what does he say? We don't need any rotten attitudes ruining the prayer time. Okay. Now that's good. And everyone had wonderful spirits and it was a great time. I'm looking forward to the next one. Praise the Lord for that. And you know what? That's provoking one another to good works. That's what it is. And we can do that, yes, in those times, but we need to do it in the house of God. And we need to encourage one another. But how do we do that? How do you provoke one another to good works, unto love and to good works? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As a manner. So what was going on? There were some, they were under pressure. They were under temptation. They were being pressured to stay away from church, and they were staying away. They were staying away from the house of God because there was under, whether it be economic pressure or even threat of their life, they were saying, you don't need to go to that Christian church. You need to get back to the synagogue. And some of them were listening and some were forsaking because they didn't want to, they couldn't take the pressure. And what is the Apostle Paul saying here? I believe Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews because of a couple of very simple phrases. By the way, I'll just side note. The debate of who wrote Hebrews wasn't a debate until like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. If you read older Bibles, it says the epistle of Saint who? Paul. Okay? Paul wrote it. You know why? Because it says right here, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Here it is. And we see verse 34, and ye had compassion of me in my bonds. Paul is the only one we know of that was imprisoned as an apostle. Peter, of course, was imprisoned and killed on a couple different occasions, but Peter never wrote about it. Paul was the only one that ever did. End of discussion. All right, now back to the message. If you disagree with me, that's fine. All right, but we need the encouragement of other Christians. Why? Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Especially when, pause for a moment. I also look at the closing of the book of Hebrews that matches all of other Paul's epistles. Anyway, let's continue on. Especially when we're facing pressure and attacks from the outside. Oh, we're getting attacked, aren't we? Oh, you get attacked in the world out there, especially if you take a stand for God. You're going to get attacked. And you know what? We need to be encouraging one another. There's a great need for expressing biblical encouragement, biblical building up. But can I tell you that? The faith in God's house has been shaken today. It's been shaken in our circles, especially by false doctrine concerning the church. Oh, I can go to church at home. You know how many people I've run across that knocked on the door? Oh, I can have church in my house. I don't need to go to God's house. I don't need to go to a church. Because they just want to steal my money anyway. Right? You ever heard that one? They just steal my money. All you care about is money. So maybe the church that you were used to be a part of, our church, doesn't care about money. We need money, I mean, to function, but it's not all we care about. We know God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I love my missions teacher. He said God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Nothing wrong with asking to slaughter a couple for you. Okay? You know, he said there's nothing wrong with that. And so God always provides. But why it was up, but not only by false doctrine concerning the church, but can I just be honest, by scandals in the church. You know, it seems on a week goes by that it's national news, that there's another national scandal that a pastor or pastoral staff is caught up in, abusing somebody or messing with children or whatever it is, and out of the ministry, in jail. It seems like every week you hear something. Man, it's been hitting the Southern Baptist Convention pretty hard the last couple weeks. About the last month or so. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And it's just, why do you think people don't have faith in church? Because the media says you shouldn't. Because you're just going to get victimized by somebody. Isn't that what the devil wants? Oh, many are hurt by the hypocrisy of those in church. And everyone's a hypocrite. Well, not everyone's a hypocrite. Guess what? Even you're a hypocrite sometimes. We all have that tendency, but guess what? The devil has been very successful in wreaking havoc in the church of God with ruining the testimony of many churches. But can I tell you something? That doesn't mean that we can dispense with God's house. There's no real churches out there. Well, guess what? I was encouraged going to Pennsylvania. There's still good churches out there. Amen. There's good churches in Texas. There's good churches in Indiana. There's good churches in Pennsylvania. There's good churches in every state. There's good churches across the ocean. By the way, Christianity, in case you didn't know, is not limited to the United States of America. Amen. There's good churches all over the world. I've been in a few of them. Praise God. And guess what? We could take some lessons from their churches. You know what? They have church for 3 hours. I mean, we complain about 30, 40-minute sermon. Oh, preacher, you're going too long. You know, I've got to get to lunch. I want to get to lunch, too. But We have such a great music today, you know, so that's not my fault today. Okay, not my fault. So that does, but praise God for it. We can spare 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, right? That's not how long I'm planning to preach here, but however God plans me to preach, that's what we're doing. But that doesn't mean we can't dispense with God's house. Whether we want like it or not, the church is still the pillar and ground of God's truth. Amen? We agree with that? Okay, good. All right, we're on the same page here. There are still great churches in America today. By the way, we need to see more started. We need to see more started across the country, around here especially. Don't lose faith because of some bad apples in the barrel. Just because there's some bad ones in the barrel, there's bad, you know, that's why we can't lose faith in police officers because of some bad cops. Can't lose faith in well, we shouldn't have faith in politics. But anyway, we have faith in the government because we have some bad actors in the government. We do know that at the end of the day, men are men and will always act like men. Fallible and sinful. Selfish. But God is ever the same. Aren't you glad of that? That's why our faith needs to be in God, not in things, not in the systems that we have created here. But then number three, faith in God's grace. Look at verse 32. Now we're back to our passage here. Set the stage here. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. So they were afflicted. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So it's interesting. Let's pause for a moment here. Spoiling of their goods. There are people coming and ransacking, stealing, taking the government, punishing them. We also, it was a twofold affliction. We look at, well, it was the Romans. No, it was the Jews doing it to their own people. We see Paul. He was named Saul, right? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he wreaked havoc in the church. He was one of those Jews that was wreaking havoc. Who's the church made up of at that time? Remember, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. They weren't part of the church yet. It was mostly Jews, and they were upset. The Pharisees were upset, and the Sanhedrin was upset that they were following this rabble-rouser named Jesus. And that churches were formed, and he said, I made havoc of the church. He was part of that. But on top of that, then the Romans got upset by Christianity, and that they thought it was causing dissension, and they saw a decline in certain sinful activities, and that this is a threat because the world was being turned upside down for Christ. And so they were getting it from two sides. They were getting it from their own people, and they were getting it from the Romans too. He said, but they were rejoicing that someone was coming in and ransacking their business or ransacking those. That's what spoiling the goods means, that they were getting things taken from them, stolen from them. And they were saying, well, praise God, I can endure that for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry if that happened to us today. I don't think that many people will be rejoicing. I would have to be remembering this, Lord. I need to rejoice in this because we're not used to that. We have it pretty good in the United States of America today. The worst thing that someone's going to have to happen to you is someone curse at you or slam a door in your face. That's about it. You don't are in threat of your life like people in Muslim countries are that turn to Christ. That they're in trouble of being honor killed by their family. That they have a duty to Allah to kill the infidel. That happens constantly. Go to Sudan and these different places. There's a great deal of affliction that takes place outside the United States of America. And we can't make it to church because why? Oh, the fishing's good today. Daytona 500's on today. Oh, so I'm not sorry, preacher. I'm not going to be at church. A couple weeks, I'm not going to be at church, preacher, on Sunday night. It's a Super Bowl. Well, who's our God? Sports? Fishing? Or is God really our God? It's really the question of the day. Too many churches have said, oh, that's right, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Let's not have church tonight. Because the preacher wants to go watch the Super Bowl. Oh, I think we've missed the mark there. But it was a devastating time. The devil was trying to stamp out the church. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was part of that persecution. And it was very easy to become discouraged and disillusioned when you're being hurt by family, friends, by the world. It seems everyone is against you because you're a Christian. Verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." So cast not away. So don't throw your faith away. Don't throw away what God's doing in your life. Don't throw away the fruits of the Spirit. Don't throw away the victories you've won, because the devil would love you to do that. So you need to have some patience. Don't throw it away. The devil wants you to quit, to cast away your confidence, to be encouraged. I can tell you, be encouraged this morning. Don't throw it away. Have confidence in what God's doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Don't throw it away. Too many times, like, it's all for nothing. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing my life being my impact on anybody. Don't live by what you can see, because that's why we need to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't know what impact you're having on somebody. That if you quit, that they'll be lost because you quit. Oh, what do we need in this situation? Oh, we need to have some patience. Verse 36, "For we have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." What's the will of God? To endure. To be long-suffering. To claim the grace of God. We have the need of God's grace to endure to the end. James 1:3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The preacher, I don't like the word patience. I don't like waiting. You mean I have, you know, what's going on? You know, I don't know about you, but when I get ill, my wife can testify to this, that when I'm sick, I'm pretty miserable. And, you know, especially when I get a stomach bug. I'm one of those people that when I get sick with a stomach bug, I get sick. The whole house knows. Okay, I'm one of those people. My dad was the same way, and I'm the same. The whole house knows. My brother's the same way. You know, we're just how we're built there. And guess what? And what happens with me? And especially this happened ever since I went to Australia. I got a stomach bug there, but ever since then, man, it's a lot to endure. And I don't know about you, I said, but Lord, I know you did healing in the New Testament. And you know, you hear these things, Lord, if it's your will, I'd love to be healed of this. But you know what comes back more often than not? You need to learn some patience and to endure some things. So many times you just want to be delivered from it because we're uncomfortable. You need to have some patience, because it's for your good. Your faith is going to grow. You're going to find a strength that you did not know was there, the strength that is in Christ. Need to have endurance. Need the grace of God, and to trust the grace of God to endure to the end. Some even have the audacity to be offended at God for allowing the testing of their faith. So, well, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be tested this way. Well, here's the truth. Jesus is coming. But here it is. You've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Time flies. Jesus is coming. Either we're going to meet him in the air when he comes, or we're going to meet him in heaven, one or the other. But either case, time is coming quickly for us all. Life is not so long. We think it lasts forever. It doesn't. Life goes by quickly. You know, when my wife and I were thinking all the time, I'm 36 years old. You know, Caleb's 12. Like, in 6 years, he's going to be 18. In 4 years, he's going to be driving. Yeah, and I'm just like, four. Okay, that's like one. Okay, I'm on like one hand now. Okay, you know, when they're born, like, oh, that's forever away. You know, that's 16 years away. Well, now it's four left. And they're like, wow, I'm getting old. Okay, getting older, okay. And then I realized that Abigail is like a little baby, and like when she turns 20, I'm going to be really old. Okay, I'm going to be, pushing 60, you know. I'm like, oh man. I mean, this is, life goes by quick. So where did life go? I remember when I was a kid, you know, fishing with my dad or playing badminton in the summertime and the fireflies when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. Now this seems like yesterday. Now look at this. What's going on? Life is but a vapor. It goes by quick. Oh, serve God today. Don't think you have the time later. Serve God now. Serve God now. This brings us to the core verse, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Well, it means to don't draw back and lose your confidence in God. It says, I take no pleasure in the one that draws back, that says, oh, I'm not going to do this. I trusted you, God, but hey, this didn't work out the way I wanted. I didn't get the girl that I wanted. I didn't want to get the guy that I wanted. I didn't get the job that I wanted. I didn't get the money that I wanted. I didn't get what I wanted out of the deal, so I'm going to draw back. I'm sorry, you have missed the point. Because living by faith, don't draw back and lose your confidence in God. So I don't see a way ahead. I don't see how this is going to happen. Isn't that what the children of Israel did? That God delivered them? They saw the miracles. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw every single one of the main gods of Egypt defeated. All the ones that maybe some of them have been tempted to think, well, maybe they're pretty powerful. God defeated each and every one. As a testimony to the Egyptians, but mostly to the children of Israel, said, I am your God. I am more powerful than they are. Brought them out. They're rejoicing. And then they come to the Red Sea. Then they saw Pharaoh was coming after them. And they said, oh, to God that we had stayed in Egypt and been in bondage and slavery. We've come out here. God's brought us out here to kill us. They quickly forgot about the 10 miracles they just saw. I mean, I don't know. These weren't little miracles. Seeing an entire river turned into blood. That's a pretty big miracle. Amen. To see a pestilence of frogs and of lice and all these things and boils. None of their houses got it. None of their cattle got it. None of their people got it. They were covered with darkness, groping around, but the children of Israel had light. Explain that. And all these things, and a simple thing like parting some water. I mean, it was a miracle, but in the eyes of what God had just done, that's pretty simple. They said, nope. They drew back. Said, no. We're not going to have confidence in you, Lord. You know, and you wonder why, you look through that God was saying, let's wipe them out. Moses, I'm going to raise up your generation, then I can self-fulfill my promise through you. But what did Moses say? He said, oh, Lord, have mercy on them. It would be a bad testimony to your name to bring your people out, then slaughter them in the wilderness. And God stayed. Ever wonder, that's the power that God had with Moses, that Moses had with God. What if Moses said, sure, let's do it. Sounds good to me. They've been a headache and a pain. He said, no. He was a man of compassion. What does it mean to live by faith? Don't draw back and lose your confidence in God. Don't lose confidence in God's word. It's still true. The promises are true. Don't lose confidence in what Christ has done for you. Don't lose confidence in the life of holiness that God has for you to live. It's interesting when we look at the just shall live by faith. You look at the word just. It has the idea of the one who is justified shall live by faith. We all know that we're justified, declared righteous by Christ. By God as the judge, but through Christ's shed blood. So the justified shall live by faith. Because we have faith in His Son, we must take the steps of faith every single day. A great reminder of these truths is found in the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow. My mom's favorite hymn. The story of the hymn is civilian Martin and her husband, Dr. Walter Martin, were friends with a couple known as the Doolittles in Elmira, New York in 1905. Became very good friends. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden and crippled for 20 years in bed. And her husband was also hopelessly crippled, had to push himself to his wheelchair to go to his business every single day. But in spite of all the trials they had gone through and all the crippling pain and all of those things, they had just a joy and a love for the Lord. And one day that just amazed them. And so Dr. Martin just said, what's the secret? And Mr. Doolittle made this statement, said, his eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. That was a simple answer. God knows. You know, the first verse. Why should I feel discouraged? Some of you were afraid I was going to sing, didn't you? Like, oh no. My wife's like, don't do it. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, that was pretty bad, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on His goodness, I'll let you imagine the two. I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him, not away from Him, closer to Him. From care, He sets me free. Why? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Therefore, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me. He watches you. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. He sees the pain. He sees the pressure. He sees the attack. He sees you. You're not forsaken. Don't draw back. Have confidence in Him. Live the life of faith. Are you doing that today? Or are you racked by fear and doubt? Are you thinking of quitting? Don't lose your confidence in God. Don't lose your confidence in His Word. Don't lose your confidence in the house of God. Don't lose your confidence in God's people. Don't let hurt and bitterness, whatever it is, make you quit. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know, that I think, I'm pretty sure, I know He watches me. Let's pray. And Father, I pray Your blessing today. Lord, we want to live that life of faith. But Lord, if there's some doubting here today, maybe some are not even saved. I don't know the needs. I don't know the hearts, but You do. But Lord, help us to live life day by day. In patience, in confidence, Lord, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of oppression, in the midst of discouragement. Seems defeat is everywhere, but Lord, You are the great victor. Pray that we wait patiently for You. Help us to walk faithfully and patiently. Bless this time of invitation, Lord. Speak to hearts, dear Lord, as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen.